You are now rocking with Must Have Knowledge and Sass.
What does love feel like to you?
It feels like safety.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode on the podcast, Must Have Knowledge and Sass. It's me, your girl, Tiana. I'm the host. I'm so happy that you are back for another episode in our series,
Love
Updates, My Family Edition. So if this is your first time actually enjoying one of the episodes in the series, I really want you to go back and listen to the first episode because I give a more detailed description about the premise of this series, but I can go ahead and give you a shorter version. But I'm really need you to go back and listen to the first episode because it's good. Okay. My cousin Idrina did her thing. Okay. Told us all the good openness about her evolution in love. But for this episode, you will get to hear how my little cousin Stephanie has evolved in her ideology about love. So I'm not going to hold you long. Not at all. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a little break. I know you like Tiana, the episode hasn't even gotten started yet, girl. What is going on? The interview hasn't gotten started. Okay, we're taking a break. Let me tell you why. So I need to explain what happened to the first part of the interview. So we did the interview, my cousin and I, Stephanie. We did the interview. The interview had two parts to it. I accidentally, permanently deleted the first part of this interview from my computer. Why, you might ask? I needed more space on my computer. And so I was just going on like a spring cleaning rampage of my computer and accidentally deleted the entire file. The video that went along with it, the sound that went along with it, everything that went along with it, the first part, was permanently deleted from my computer. So, yeah, what you're about to hear is actually the second part of the interview. And I'm sorry. I'm especially sorry to my cousin Stephanie because it was such a great first part. Like, this whole interview was so amazing. So let me go ahead and give you a synopsis of what the first half of the interview was. Pretty much, my cousin Stephanie has evolved in her ideology of love, and she is clearer about her boundaries. She is clear about what she wants when it comes to love. She has gained so much more wisdom and knowledge about love through experiences that she's had, through the different things she has done, the self-work she has done. And I'm so very proud of her, and I really wish you all could hear what she said, but unfortunately, I can't. Lord Jesus, I deleted it. Okay, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry, Stephanie. And I was going to do it differently. I was going to actually tack her, the second part of this interview, onto another interview that I did. And I was like, no, I want my cousin to have the space that she deserves when it comes to this interview. All in all, what I'm trying to say is I'm so very proud of the evolution she had. Unfortunately, you all will not be able to hear about that evolution that she has had in love. I'm sorry. That's all I can say. Well, all right. That's it for the break. But at least you get to listen to the second part of the interview. Here we go. All right, so we're back and we left off with conflicts and how we have both changed over time when it came to learning how to deal with conflict in a more rational and logical way. So what do you feel are like the essential ingredients when it comes to love?
So as I say, protection. There needs to be a certain level of a lot of consideration and gentleness, a certain level of gentleness. And then not only that, but I would say a level of security. Like, I like stability. Like things that just, I don't want to feel like things are constantly sliding out. You know, the rug is constantly being pulled out from under my feet.
Right.
Like, so if I feel like it's always something, like you can't ever, like every time I talk to you, you in a bad mood. Like you just, you can't never find nothing, to, like no silver lining in nothing, nothing to be happy about, or it's always somebody, like that's an indication to me that you can't steel yourself, like, and center yourself, and just, yeah, I need a level of stability there, like just level-headedness, logical thinking, and using logic as just a means to getting through life.
Yeah.
Just simple stuff. Like, and if that doesn't seem to be like a tool in your toolkit, I can't do it.
I think it goes back to the fact, and somebody perfectly described it. I seen it in this video one time. This video was about resilience. And it was like, if you constantly feel like a car is coming towards you, now you're crossing the street and like a car like speeds up to you and stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is not a good thing.
No.
So when I'm constantly having a rug pulled out from up underneath me, or you're constantly being inconsistent in something, it constantly feels like, and I tell people, a Mack truck is constantly coming at me and I'm having to be active all of the time. Who wants to do that?
No, like, yeah, I don't know. That's, if that, yeah, because that makes me feel like I'm constantly angry. And I don't, that's not how I want to operate. I want to operate from a place of stillness, calmness. Like if I'm constantly operating from a level, like I'm always at a 10, I can't even get down to a 5 at any point.
Right.
No, thank you.
No.
Because I don't like being angry. I do not like being angry. I don't like myself when I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to me. I want to like myself. I want to be the type of person, you know, that I want to be around. And if you making me angry and just aggravated constantly, I don't like that version of myself. And I'm always trying to be the version of myself that I like.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Like, that's like, and I know that requires growth. So like, that's important to me. Like, that's very important.
Oh, yes.
I love- can't bring out... Yeah, if you're constantly bringing out the worst version of me, that does not say stability to me. And stability is important, along with gentleness, consideration, and protection.
Okay.
Like protection, like with that, that's the, I would say, the main thing, because all of those things to me fall under protect me. You're not gonna protect me by, you know, protect my feelings by speaking to me in the tone that I like to be spoken to. You know, you can be upset. You can definitely get your point across without yelling at me, you know? So if you're not going to protect me in that way, by being gentle with me, I can't deal with it. If you're not going to protect me by making sure that I feel stable and I'm not feeling crazy, you know, like mentally, because you gaslight me, like you're not going to protect me by making sure I don't feel like that, I don't want it. If you're not going to protect me by being considerate and thoughtful, you know, of me, like, yeah, I'm good. Like, if I'm always like, hey, I'm running late, didn't get a chance to cook, you know, or take nothing out, do you need me to, you know, stop and get something? If that's always the thing, and it's never, hey, babe, I realize, you know, we ain't take nothing out to cook, I already got some ordered and on the way. You know, if you're not taking something off my plate and helping me and making my load lighter, and not to say that you gotta take on all my stuff, nor do I expect my partner to expect me to take on all their stuff. But if there's not days where you can, you know what I'm saying, lighten my load for me, because yours is already a little bit lighter, but instead of you taking something from me, putting something else on me, I don't want it.
Right.
Like, it's helpmate. You're so, that's the way a relationship is supposed to be. You're supposed to get together. You got these resources. I got these resources. Let's put them together and let's you know, make more resources, and I'm gonna help you when you help me. That's it. In all aspects of the relationship. Right now, I don't have the mental bandwidth. You know what I'm saying? All right, cool, babe. You got it. No problem. Check out mentally if you need to, you know, just for a second. And, you know, I got whatever it is we're doing right now out of dinner. Thank you. Like, that's simple. But I think that ties in with the emotional labor that women do in relationships, you know, throughout our lives anyhow. And just trying to find a guy that is cognizant of that and is actively working. I mean, I'm not saying you got to be 100% because nobody's ever going to be perfect. But if you're not actively working against stuff like that, societal norms, you know, like that, and not willing to, you just want to go with the status quo of how relationships are supposed to be and gender norms and all that stuff, I can't. You're not going to put it all on me. I'm not going to be nobody's mule. So.
I agree. You always want to find a partner where we can do life together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do life with you.
And I want to be a partner. Equal partners. That's it. That's what I want. I want a partnership.
Yes.
A partnership. Not even necessarily a relationship. A partnership. That's what I want. Like, that's what makes sense. Because at the end of the day, what I know is as we get older, everything else is going to fade. Looks, the sex drive, all this going to go away. Like, I need to still be able to want to be around you and talk to you and, like, be in your presence. You can't constantly be, just like you said, having me feeling like a raw nerve and aggravated constantly.
Listen, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And then, if those are the essential ingredients you feel are like in like healthy love, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does love feel like to you?
It feels like, this is gonna sound weird. The only way I can describe it, it feels like safety. That's really what it feels like for me. It feels like being safe. That sense of relief, I'll take it back to childhood. All right. You remember playing hide and go seek and tag and all that type of stuff, and there being a safe spot, a home base.
Mm-hmm.
That's what love feels like. Love feels like that exhilaration that you felt when you got to touch the home base, when you were safe and you knew you was good, right? When you knew you, like, that's what it feels like. That having, from the having your sight set on it, and, you know, it being in your line of sight, and it being the only thing that you're seeing because you're so hyper-focused on getting it and getting to it, you know, and to the feeling of literally connecting, smashing into it, touching it, you know, and knowing, okay, I'm good. And then being the person to stand there, you know, in that moment, like, giddy and excited and happy because I got here, right? That's what it feels like. It just feels like joy. It feels like, yeah, it's simple. It's a simple feeling. Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it. That feeling in that moment of playing the childhood game, you know, there's nothing else that there's nothing else that you feel. Like, everything else in that moment gets knocked out. You could have been, you know, you could have failed trying to get that skirt your knee, but I promise you, you know, you won't even feel that because everything else, you know, that euphoric feeling of making it to base and safe and not being out just takes over.
Stephanie, that is the perfect analogy. I never thought about it like that, but this is so good. Oh,
that's the only way. Yeah, that's how I can describe.
Oh, okay. Well, dang. I mean, let's see who could top that answer. But okay, so this is the final thing I want to ask you. What do you wish for your future children? Okay, first of all, I'm making an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have children one day?
I do. Okay. I just want to have them with the right person. I don't know who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and hopefully whoever it is will be somebody that makes me feel like I'm touching home base, like I just said. And yeah, if I can, because I don't know that I can. I've never had, and I attribute that simply to the fact that I've never had a pregnancy scare.
Okay.
I mean, so it's just like, I don't know if I can. If I can't, you know, I'm of the mindset that if I'm supposed to, I will, and if I don't, it wasn't in the cards. That's cool. I got God babies, you know, that I can love on and send back to their mom and dad. If I get my hyped up on candy.
There we go. I can see you.
One auntie and okay. Go back home now.
Okay. So what do you wish for your future children when it comes to love?
I wish them joy. And enough joy to get them through the hard times of their relationship. Because they're like, again, no relationship is perfect. Like, and because no one is perfect, right? And knowing that, you know, you want to be with somebody that make you happy, even when they get on your nerves. Like, even because it's too much going on in the world, you know, that when you come home, that you're not gonna have a little bit of whatever day that you had outside the house, you know, on you. You try to leave it at the door, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes it takes, okay, I need 30 minutes to myself. I need to take a shower and, you know, decompress and then show back up, you know, for us. But until I do that, until I recharge myself, I can't do that for you. Please leave me alone right now. And you still need to be able to look at your partner when they're in that moment and be like, you know what, you're being a very big curmudgeon right now and it's getting on my nerves, but I know and I trust that, you know, we'll be able to laugh in about 45 minutes about something. And knowing that right there is enough for me to just be like, okay, you got it. I wish that feeling, like, you knowing that and being able to trust that even though right now you're not feeling good, that you will still show up for our relationship, you know, in a way to make sure that we're both happy.
Yes, just temporary, not permanent.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this has been such a good conversation.
It really has. I've enjoyed this.
And I love the fact that you have evolved into the woman that you are today.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. Where you're more self-aware of what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And you are able to articulate your boundaries as well as able to stand up for yourself and stand within your truth so that you don't betray yourself.
Yes.
But what makes me even more happy is that you haven't allowed past experiences to turn you bitter or rob you of a future in love.
Yes.
So I'm so proud of you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Do you have any last words? Would you like to share anything with the audience before we go ahead and close out the episode?
Therapy's great. It works.
Yes.
Everybody should do it, even if you feel like you shouldn't, because it's always good to have someone to talk to. And just to get the crazy thoughts out of your head. I mean, even if it's just something random, you know, like just to have somebody to talk to, that inner monologue, to actually get that out of you and be able to have bounce it off of somebody else is a gift. It's a privilege, and it's something that is important. I encourage anybody that can to do it. I've not had therapy recently, but in the past, like, it was definitely something that was beneficial for me. So I would definitely encourage that, especially amongst our community. And just the best relationship I would say that you can have. I know that it sounds cliche and overstated, but the best and first relationship you always gonna have is with yourself. If you can't, like I said, figure out which version of yourself you like the most, you know, and pour into that version of you, then it's gonna be really hard to accept anybody else trying to do it for you, or to do it for anybody else. Like, you can't really love anybody else if you don't even love yourself, because you got to be able to love yourself without other people loving you, if that makes any sense.
Total sense.
So, yeah.
So yes. So, all right. This is it. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me. I have fun.
I really hope you enjoyed that interview. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I mean, come on now. Oh, before I forget, go ahead and follow me or subscribe, you know, whichever platform you are listening on. Do one of the two, okay? Come on now. Come on. Also, rate this podcast if you would like to. You know, I'm out here just looking at your reviews, you know, waiting for you to rate me, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I want to make sure that you also just consider some of the things that were said in this episode. Consider some of the questions for yourself. And most importantly, come on now, go ahead and out and get the book if you like it. Loving Bravely by Dr. Alexandria Solomon. Now, I'm not getting paid to tell nobody this, by the way. Okay, ain't no sponsorship over here from her. Okay, so I'm really telling you this because this book is that good. And I'm gonna say it every episode, at the end of every episode. Go ahead. Add the book to your cart. The name of the book is Loving Bravely by Dr. Alexandria Solomon. As always, I thank you. I love you for listening to this episode. And I pray that you have the most amazing day or night whenever you're listening. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I pray that you have so much joy, so much love, and so much peace that fills up your entire life. All right. Bye, y'all.